I'm milling about with Don Most, and he's joining me. Where are you calling me from?
Oh, I'm in California, near, you know, suburb of Los Angeles, and it's a pretty day here. I don't know where you are. How's it where you are?
Well, I'm calling from New York, but I'm originally from Brooklyn, so we have something in common.
Oh, yes, indeed. What part of Brooklyn are you from?
I grew up in Canarsie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I grew up in the Flatbush section.
We might have met up at King's Plaza and not realized it.
We very possibly might have, yeah. So that's crazy.
But, you know, every once in a while I jones for Brooklyn. And, you know, we have a lot in common because I also started out in musical theater. So how did you sort of make that journey from stage to screen and then back to stage again?
Well, I was pursuing and was singing before I was acting. Yes, growing up in Brooklyn, I wound up going into the city starting when I was about 13 or 14 for these classes, a school for singing and acting and all that. And I got picked to be part of a professional troupe that would perform and up at the nightclub hotels in the Catskill Mountains during. I did it one summer.
Wait, which hotels did you perform in?
Like every one of them. The only one we didn't get into was the Concord. But I was at, you know, the Grossinger's and the Granite and Neverly and Tamarack and the Pines. I mean, all
Kutcher's?
Kutcher's, I think. I'm pretty sure we did Kutcher's, yeah.
I was everything at Kutcher's. I worked at Kutcher's all the time.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, this was probably a little before you. I was there in the summer of 68.
Okay.
Singing. I always loved the standards, the jazz standards and swing and big bands and the Great American Songbook, all of the above. And after that summer, though, I decided for various reasons to enroll in a more serious acting class and have that going as well. And it led to me going out to California and then eventually getting Happy Days. So I kind of put the music
on back burner, yeah.
Yeah, on the back burner. And I knew that one day I'd want to do something with it again. You know, it was not the kind of music that was in favor and very commercial in the 70s and 80s and was sort of looked upon as my grandparents' music even, or parents' music.
Oh, yeah. My parents listened to Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, all the standards, absolutely.
Yeah, and but for me to do it back then, it just wasn't the right time. And now that music has come back in a big way, with so many great artists doing it, the timing was much better. And I figured if I was ever going to go back to doing some of this music, this was the time.
I want to back up a little bit. What was the name of this teenage musical theater group that you were a part of?
Okay, the name of the guy who ran the school, he was an old vaudevillian guy, and he ran the school for singing, acting, and dancing. His name was Charlie Lowe, and he coined the name for his group was called the Broadway Show-Offs.
Okay.
And that was their name, and there were about seven of us, ages 14 to 16, and, you know, it was sort of like a review. And we did a lot of the songs, a lot of the, you know, old songs from the 20s, 30s, 40s, that kind of stuff, you know. I had a ball doing it. And I thought, wow, I'd made it, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I did switch gears right after that summer and really, you know, got into the acting, and which the whole thing leading to Happy Days and all that was a fabulous journey.
Skies smiling at me, nothing but blue skies do I see. Bluebirds sing a song, nothing but bluebirds all day long.
Oh, I bet. What do you remember about your audition for Happy Days, if at all?
My screen test, Gary Marshall directed it, and I remember that very well. He had The Odd Couple on the air at the time. That was his show. So, I was pretty familiar with him through that. And 10 actors there, maybe 12, in groups of two, playing to audition for Richie and Potsy, and I was auditioning for Potsy. I just turned 20, but some of the actors, most of the other actors were maybe 17, not even 18, some of them. And they had to take all of them first because they only had them a certain amount of hours because they were under 18. So they kept pushing me to the end. So I had to wait and wait and wait. It was a very difficult day, and I felt like I blew it. I didn't feel good about what I did, and I thought that I didn't have a chance, you know. So I was pretty surprised when they called. They said, my agent said, you know, you didn't get the part you auditioned for, but the executives liked your screen test so much they want to put you in the show and find a role to make another character. And that there was a small part in the pilot, a guy named Ralph, and they would, you know, they offered me that role, and they said they would make it sort of a regular, you know, not even recurring, a regular part.
So you could have been Potsy.
I could have been. You know, I didn't get that.
What a trajectory. It would have changed the whole trajectory of your life.
Yeah, I guess it would have been different. I don't know how. I mean, it still would have been a major role on that show. But, yeah, it would have been. It would have changed things in some way, I'm sure.
Who do you remember other actors that were at the audition with you?
Robbie Benson was there auditioning for the role of, I think, Potsy also. It was either Richie. I'm not sure if it was Richie or Potsy, but I knew Robbie because we had worked together on a TV commercial a couple of years earlier, on a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup commercial, which they actually play on. They were playing for a while on TV Land. Robbie was, and then Ron Howard and Hanson Williams were there screen testing. Ron was testing, even though they had actually done those parts. It's a long story. I won't get into it now too much, but they had done a pilot of A Happy Days about a year and a half earlier, and it didn't sell. But then Graffiti came out, American Graffiti and Grease came out on Broadway, and then the network said, well, wait a minute, maybe we should do that show. But they said to Gary, you know, you need to recast, because he thought they'd be, Ron and Anson now might be too old, and Gary didn't think so, but he had to screen test all these people to satisfy ABC's desire. And that's why he went through that whole thing. But so Ron and Hanson were screen testing for a part they'd already done, which is kind of bizarre.
That is crazy. I think you should write a book. I'm not kidding. This is these are great stories. I love these stories.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones. I started writing, and I can't remember, but I wrote a chapter, and it was really good. And this was about 15 years ago. But then I got really busy with other stuff, and so we never did anything with it. And now I'd love to find that chapter, but it was like on an old computer, and I never transferred it, and I don't know what I did with it.
Oh, no.
But I might have to pick that up one of these days.
What would the title be, if you could think off the top of your head?
That's a good question. I'm terrible with titles. I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to ponder on that.
Happier days.
Happier days, right. Oh, gosh, something like that.
So have you ever thought of doing a musical on Broadway?
Yeah, I would love to do that. You know, back in the early days, before I went out to California, I had auditioned for several Broadway shows, and actually came very close on one. I had like three callbacks. It was the original Jesus Christ Superstar.
Wow.
And I was up to play one of the apostles, and I had three callbacks, but I didn't get past the dance one, you know, the dancing part. I think that's when I got nosed out.
Uh-oh. But, and you also did do some musicals. It says in your bio that you were in Damn Yankees and with Dick Van Dyke. That must have been very cool.
Yeah, he went on tour. It wasn't on Broadway, but it was a really fun tour of Damn Yankees, where I played Joe Hardy, the lead guy, and Dick Van Dyke was the devil. That was an incredible, wonderful experience. I also went on the Broadway tour of Grease back in the late 90s. So that was fun. And
what was your role in that one?
Vince Fontaine, the DJ.
Oh yeah.
And in this production, which was the Tommy Tune production, his role was expanded. He had a lot more to do than just the scene in the prom in the original. I was kind of throughout the whole piece, and it was a lot of fun. So yeah, I would love to do something in New York on Broadway, musical or drama or comedy, whatever, you know. Hopefully that will happen in the not too distant future.
Well, that would be so cool. The best story of all that comes from your past is that you met your wife on the set of Happy Days.
Yes.
Which I love.
Indeed.
Tell me that story.
Yeah, well, you know, it turned out to be my final season on the show because it was the seventh season. My contract was up, and they asked me after that year to you know, renew a new contract. For various reasons, I decided not to. Ron Howard and I both, that was our last year because Ron didn't come back either. But luckily, I was still there for this episode where my wife, she was a guest role. I had a small guest role on that show and wound up doing a second episode after that. But, you know, we met and started talking and then hit it off and started dating. And we dated for 2 years and then got married. So, and we just had our 35th wedding anniversary last month. So, yep, that was probably the most important thing that happened to me. I mean, there were a lot of important things that happened, but that was the most important.
What's so wonderful is all the offspring, if you will, that has come from doing that show. You know, we've got Ron Howard's daughter that's now an actor, and I don't know if your kids are in the business, and you know what I mean?
No, they're not. They didn't pursue that at all, which I had no problem with because it's such a difficult and precarious business. But Ron's daughter Bryce is certainly very well known. Henry's son is a director, writer director. So that would be the only other one that's coming to mind.
I'm sure everybody wants to know about reunions and if you see each other and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I mean I speak to Anson regularly and we see each other quite a bit. He lives about 20 minutes from me and we're great, great friends. Henry, I speak to, and we see, you know, not as frequently because he's been very busy, but we definitely stay in touch. Ron is even tougher with his schedule and being all over the world, but we stay in touch primarily through email. But I'll still see him, you know, usually on average once a year, something like that. And Mary and I speak to, you know, periodically too. So yes, you know, we were so close, and it's great that it really was like a family in it, though.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure when Gary Marshall passed away, you probably all got in touch with each other at some point.
Yeah, that was very difficult and sad, and we saw each other. They had a big memorial celebration, and that was a wonderful, wonderful event, and there were like 1,400 people there.
So, yeah.
But I did get to see a lot of the folks from Happy Days, not only the cast, but writers, producers, all that.
Oh, yeah, people that we don't know about.
Right.
So
yeah.
Now, coming full circle on a happier note, tell me, and we're using happy a lot in this chat, tell me about the CD.
Yeah.
And what do you have on there?
Sure. It's called D-Most, Mostly Swinging.
And is that your nickname? D-Most. People call you D-Most?
I once had it on my license plate years ago when I was on the show as a personalized plate. But a good friend of mine who's a music producer and a really good friend, when I was doing my CD, it was his idea. He'd seen me sign my name that way a couple times, and he said, why don't you, I like D-Most. He goes, And he said, for the CD, I think you should go with Demos, Mostly Swing. And I had the Mostly Swing part in there. So that's how that came about.
And nobody thought you were a rapper?
Well, with the Mostly Swinging kind of gives that away what
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
So it really is, I'm really proud of the CD. And, it, you know, like I said, this is the music that it's in my blood. I've always loved, you know, the music that, say, Sinatra did or Dean Martin or Bobby Darin, who was my personal favorite.
Mac the Knife.
Yeah.
Stop
Mac,
there.
I close just about every show with Mac the Knife. And I didn't do that on the CD, but I did some other songs that Bobby had done that I loved, and Sinatra stuff and Dino. And, you know, I love Nat King Cole and the great jazz singers, like even the, like Ella Fitzgerald and Dinah Washington. So I this music is just so much in me. The band does swing, and I had an incredible time doing it. So
cool.
I'm excited about it, and I'm hoping a lot of people will check it out.
Now, knowing you're such a Bobby Darin fan, were you interested in the movie that Kevin Spacey wound up doing?
Well, now there's a whole story there that is almost a little painful for me.
Oh.
30 years before Kevin did that movie, and since I was a huge Bobby fan, I mean really big, I had gone to see him at the Copacabana when I was 18 years old twice, and I saw him in concert in Central Park at the Schaefer Music Concerts they had, and then I even met him, you know, right after his rehearsal for that. I waited around until he came out and I saw him. So I was so into Bobby, and so 2 or 3 years after he passed away, which was in December of, or the fall of 73, so now I'm on Happy Days after that, and I was at Paramount Studios. So I went and pitched the idea of doing a movie about Bobby, that, you know, so this was like 1975, 76. And the first exec I pitched it to liked it very much and sent me up the ladder to another higher exec at Paramount, and I had the good graces of Bobby's estate to go and do this, and even went in with his longtime manager Steve Blauner, and we went in and pitched it, and you know, I thought there was some talk that maybe this they were going to go for it, but they decided not to. And because I wanted to play Bobby back then, I was about 25 years old, 26.
Wow!
So it was a good age, and I was, you know, passionate about this. So it was really disappointing when it didn't happen. And then, 30 years later, when I see that Kevin was doing the movie, you know, I had very mixed feelings. On one hand, I was very happy that they were finally getting a movie made about Bobby. So, sort of, it was painful that somebody else was getting to do it and it hadn't been me, you know. And but ultimately, you know, I'm glad they did it, and you know, Kevin did some very interesting things with it. I feel that, you know, the biggest problem was that he really was too old to be doing that part at that point, because he was older than Bobby was when Bobby died, and he was playing Bobby from the time he was, you know, in his early 20s, and I thought that was, it didn't really quite work for several, that being one of the reasons. He did excellent work in it, no doubt.
Well, here's an idea. You should do the Bobby Darin story on Broadway. What do you think?
Yeah, well, that is an idea, because with makeup and all, I could play him when he was younger, I guess, and on stage you can get away with it more, maybe. Who knows? You know, we'll see where that goes.
There you go. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Donnie. It was really a pleasure.
Oh, thanks for having me, Robin, fellow Brooklynite.
Always new.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.